kids. Love our kids. They're great. So today, I want us to dream together. Now, we're not going to dream about socks or even flashlights, but we are going to dream about what it means to let our light shine. What does it mean for us to be the light of the world? You know, I think dreams are different. Dreams are different. So much of the time we talk about what we need to be doing as a church, as individuals, as followers of Christ. And we've been doing that as we've gone through this multiply study. We've talked about what do we need to be doing? What are the needs of the people around us? And what does it mean to be obedient? And that's important. We need to understand what it means to be a follower of Christ with all of our lives and with all that we are. But you know, dreaming is different from obedience. Dreaming is different from the question of what we need and what those around us need. Now, that's not to say that living in community isn't about needs being met. And it certainly isn't about, doesn't mean to say that we're not to be obedient. We are to be obedient. We obey God's commands to love and to treat one another as sisters and brothers, regardless of how we feel. We obey God when He commands us that we love not just our neighbors, but even our enemies. We, in obedience, allow the Spirit to shape our behavior so that our lives reflect God's character. Obedience is incredibly important. We have needs as individuals, and we need one another. We need one another to pray for us and lift us up when we are in sorrow or in need, or simply to be present with us through some of life's challenges. We need one another to do that. We need those who will reach out to us and help in concrete ways when life becomes complicated, whether it's to help us move from one place to another, whether it's walking our dog or washing the dishes or bringing a meal. We need one another in concrete ways to live out what it means to be a follower of Christ and love in a concrete, tangible way. We need that. We need friends with whom we can celebrate life's joys and victories. We need a community that will give us input whenever we have questions about what does it mean to be a follower of Christ in this situation. We need those things. And yet none of those are dreams. And we can get so locked in and tied up with simply doing the things that are necessary. The necessary things in terms of meeting one another's needs and meeting the needs of those around us and getting our needs met and trying our dead level best to be obedient to Christ and what He calls us to do and who He calls us to be. We can get so wrapped up in those things that we forget to dream. We forget to say, what if? We forget to say, what if God moved in incredible ways and changed the reality in which we live? What would that look like? What does it mean to dream as a follower of Christ, as a disciple, as a follower? What might God do if He did what only He could do? And what would it look like if He used us? What would that be? What would that look like? In what has to be the greatest sermon ever given, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about all of these things. He talks about what it means to be obedient followers and disciples. He talks about meeting one another's needs and reaching out in the world and interacting with the world in a way in which it reflects upon His character and who we are. But He also talks about what it means to dream. To dream about what it might mean to show those who are not yet believers a different reality, a different kingdom. And to do this, He specifically gives them two examples: salt and light. And this morning I want us to focus on light. You might could have guessed that from the children's sermon. I want us to focus on what does it mean. Let's dream about being light in this community, in this world. So I want us to turn to Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 through 7 of Matthew. Chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Very brief passage, but incredible importance. And it says, "You are the light of the world." Now think about that for just a second. Not you can be, not you should be, not you need to be, not anything else. You are the light of the world. Now, just pausing there for just a second and taking my handy dandy flashlight. Eventually, the batteries on this thing, I got it the other day and I shone it in Susan's eyes. She wasn't especially happy about that. Threatened to hurt me. You are now witnesses. If I'm hurt, she did it. My own fault. But eventually the batteries will run down. Right? Eventually the batteries will run down. It's a very bright for a small flashlight like this. Very bright flashlight. But eventually the batteries will run down. This is still a flashlight. Whether the light shines or not does not impact the fact that this is a flashlight. The only thing that the power that is available to that impacts is how brightly will it shine. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." The question is, how brightly do we shine? We are the light of the world. Not we can become, not we might be, not we need to be, not we should. You are the light of the world. The question is, how much power do we have? Then he goes on and he says, "A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp or a flashlight and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house." Now, whereas for verse 14, it starts out with, "You are the light of the world." He is making a statement about our identity, the point from which we dream. We dream not because we think that God is going to change us into something, but because of our identity, who we are in Him. It is who we are. And we dream based not on what we can become, although we can be filled with power, but based on our identity. But then he begins to talk about what it means to be the light. How do you act? How do you set the stage for the most light being given, given that you are the light? And he says several things. He says, "A city set on a hill can't be hidden." Makes perfect sense. Have you ever seen pictures of the earth from space as nighttime begins to come over that landscape? And you see those pinpoints of light. Or you've driven through the countryside, and especially in Germany. Now, we lived in Texas for many years. In Texas, you don't experience this because there are very few hills. With a couple of exceptions at certain points in Texas, but most of Texas is pretty flat, and you simply come upon the city. But in Germany, there are cities that are set on a mountainside or a hillside, and at night, you see those cities lighting up, and you know where that city is. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, in order to give light to the house, because that fulfills the purpose of being light. A light is created in order to give light to those, in this case, who are in the house. Now, there's several things that I think we can learn about dreaming about what it is that God desires to do as the light. Taking on our identity, acknowledging that this is our identity in Christ. So what is it that God wants us to do? What does it mean for us? How do we dream based out of this? And the first thing is that if we are going to be light, the first thing we need to do is we need to be visible. As we dream about what it means to be light, to be, what is it that God desires to do through us? We need to be visible. We need to stand up and shine. We can't cover who we are in Christ. You know, some of us have several layers of things that prevent people from seeing the light. We, out of fear or out of other reasons, we're afraid to show who we really are, and we prevent people from seeing, and it's so far down in us. We know who we are in Christ. We identify that, but the people around us may not, because we have hidden it so far down, and we don't let it shine. We don't let it be visible, perhaps because of fear. As one of the kids said, sometimes you're afraid. You're afraid to let people know who you are. You're afraid to let that light shine. What kind of impact might that have in my life if I really did that? If I lived in that way, what kind of impact might that have in my relationships, in my work, at school, wherever we are, with my neighbors? What kind of impact might that have? And we allow fear to drive us. We also sometimes allow sin, rebellion against God, to drive us. We don't want to let go of that rebellion, of that sin, and we know that it's incompatible with being the light. And so we hide that light. Oswald Chambers describes the hell of a renunciation before God. Now that sounds, I don't even know what that means, but fortunately, Jim Dennison commented on it, and he said, what he means is that I must repent of all that is not God's best for me if I would experience God's best. Sin rewards for a season, which is why it's so tempting. It is hard to renounce the present for the sake of the future. But that's what dreaming is about. That's what dreaming is about. Dreaming is about being willing to dream about the future and give up anything that would prevent us from seeing that future, including those things that are so tempting. And the truth is that sin is tempting. That rebellion against God is tempting. If it weren't, it wouldn't be called temptation. It is tempting. It's tempting to buy into that and live in the present and allow those temporary joys, those temporary satisfactions, those temporary pleasures to allow us to miss what God would do in our future. And the third thing about being visible is simply we sometimes don't want to do that because here's the thing, we're lazy. We can be lazy. It is more work. And we simply don't want to do it. We simply are lazy. And laziness can actually prevent us from dreaming about what it is that God desires to do in us, because it's going to take work. It's going to take extra effort on our part. And sometimes we just have to say, I just don't want to do that. That can actually prevent us from being visible, from shining as God would have us to shine. The second thing that I learned from this passage is that we are the brightest together. Now, this particular flashlight that I bought is, I don't know if you know how flashlights are measured. I really didn't know how flashlights were measured. Flashlights are measured in lumens. Your science lesson for the day. Lumens. Now, a lumen is different than candle power. One candle power is 12.57 lumens. If you want to write this down, I'll show it to you afterwards. 12.57 lumens. So a candle light, one candle power, is what a single candle illuminates 1 foot away. So 1 foot away from the candle, that is that candle power, and that is 12.57 lumens. To give you an example, that flashlight is 2,000 lumens, or 159 candles. It's pretty awesome. The power of 159 candles right in that one little flashlight. That might be why Susan wasn't quite so excited when I shined that in her light, in her face the other day. 159 candles. Here's the thing. How much light can we bring together? We are stronger. We are the brightest whenever we are together. We are the brightest whenever God uses us together. When we join hands together, when we love together. And I love the ways we're doing that. We are already doing so much that God is blessing. The soup kitchen is one example of shining our light together, where God is using that, and He is literally shining in the city of Wiesbaden through the willingness of those who are participating in that soup kitchen, simply to love other people. Another way that God is using that, our World Missions offering. All through the month of April, because of Easter, around the Easter, the month of Easter, we took our World Missions offering. Our goal was 750 euro. You want to know how much you gave? 1,666 euro and 39 cents. More than doubled our goal. That is amazing. I could not have dreamed that. Yet God did it. What an incredible thing. We've seen through refugee outreach, we've seen so many different ways that we are brighter together. And God continues to work. Dream with me. Dream with me. What happens when you participate? When you bring your light to that joint light, when God uses your dreams, your abilities, your gifts, when He brings that into the pot together and He makes a difference in people's lives, we are brighter together. And then thirdly, thing about light, darkness flees. Have you ever seen darkness approach the light? Never. Not in the physical sense, not in terms of darkness and this kind of physical light. This kind of physical light shines and darkness flees before it. And that is so true spiritually. The problem is we hide our lights and darkness overtakes. But if we will shine as God has commanded us to shine, darkness will flee. I am convinced that there are things that God desires to do, that if we will allow our lights to shine, the darkness will flee. Instead, so often we make a habit of complaining about the darkness. We talk about how we don't like the darkness here, we don't like the darkness there. Our world is such a challenging place in which to live. Yes, it is. And the darkness will flee before the light of God. He desires for us to make a difference. But it is going to call for us to be His light. We must stand. So, I want to dream for just a few minutes about what this might look like. What might it look like for us to be the light of the world in Wiesbaden, in Germany, where God has placed us, what He desires to do in us? Let's dream together. I dream that God would continue to make us a light in this city. What is it that God desires for us to do in this city, this role that we have to play? We are a very unique congregation in a unique place. And I think God has given us a unique role to play. What is it that God desires for us to do in ways that give light to this city? We are here not for our good, but for the good of those around us. God has planted us here with a purpose. What if we dreamed? What if we dreamed about what it might look like that God might be doing in our city through us as we together stand and we push back the darkness and proclaim Jesus in this city? What might that look like? It's already manifesting itself in a soup ministry. But there are other ways. Maybe there are ways that we just need to be open to. Maybe God's already spoken to your heart. I suspect God has already told you what the next step is. And the question is, are you willing to step into those dreams? Are you willing to ask the people around you to help and to be a part of what God desires to do? Are you willing to step forward and say, I have a dream. I dream that God would do this. I suspect God is already doing that. I suspect that God already has in His heart what the next point of light will be in this city. I dream, and I want us to dream about what it would look like for each person to bring their light to bear. Because you see, the truth of the matter is that in most churches, very few people bring their light to bear. Now, I'm not talking about programs. I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm simply saying standing up and being working together, lifting one another in prayer, ministering as God has given you passion and desire, the heart to reach out, playing that role that only you can play. And so often we function like a flashlight where, if this, in this case, this is an LED flashlight. Now, probably several of you know what that means much better. One of the kids asked, why is it square? Anybody know? It's because there's individual LED lights that are simply lined up together in a box. There's individual lights that are in here. Together, they make this light. And whenever you shine the light, it looks like a box. Because there's individual lights in there. It's not just one bright light. It is many bright lights that come together to make more than any of the individuals. But let's just say we take apart this, which I can take it apart. Can't put it back together. I can take it apart. I've never met something I can't tear up. I just can't put it back together. I've never met something I can put back together either. But if I took this apart and I began to punch holes in those individual lights so that they were no longer shining, how long do you think it would be before this light would only be a small portion of what it is now? The truth is, you are important. And I dream of the day that God works in all of us and that we are each one of us willing to simply do that for which God has created us to be and do. I don't want us to live somebody else's life. I want us to live the life that God has claimed for us. I want us to be those lights that God has designed us to be as individuals, but also as a body. And I dream of the day when each of us bring our lights to bear so that we can be the brightest, not for our glory, but for His. That He receives all the glory because we're powerless. That is, we're dark without Him. He is the only source of power we have and of light. I dream that we would stand courageously, that we would drive back that darkness, and we would stand for what is good and right and of God, that men, women, and children would be drawn to the light of the world, that as we shine as those lights, people would say, what is it? What is it that is at work in the lives of those people? I want that. I want that. And that through that, people would come to know Christ as Savior. I dream that marriages would be healed, that relationships would be healed, that where there is brokenness between individuals, that light would heal, and that we would be there driving back the darkness, not closing out people, but closing in people. Being the light is not about causing people to flee. It is about drawing them in, covering them in the healing that comes from walking with Christ. And over time, that we see differences in relationship because God is at work. I dream that those who have gone astray, that those who have decided, I'd rather live in the sin and rebellion and hide my light. And I dream that God would work in such a way that they would make decisions, that those, each of us at times have done this, and that when we do it, that God would be at work through this light that shines from us, that they would realign their lives with the character of God, that we would turn away from the sin and rebellion and turn to living a faithful life in Christ. I dream that we would courageously stand for righteousness and justice, that where there is injustice, we would take a stand and be willing to do what it takes to stand as light. I dream that we would put our needs above of the needs of others above our own needs, and that we would live in such a love and fellowship that people would see not a bunch of individual lights, but a community of light shining together. I dream that God would continue the good work that He has already begun in us. God is at work. We are shining, but I desire that we dream for God to receive more glory, for God to be shown like we are a city on a hill, that we take off anything that might mask that light, and that people would see Him. We haven't talked about our vision statement in a while. It's not exactly something that you just pull out all the time and say, oh, by the way, did you know we have a vision statement? But I think it's really applicable as we talk about being this kind of light. Our vision statement, as we have decided as a church body, says, our multicultural church body, centered in Christ, strives to serve others with a heart of prayer, life-giving biblical teaching, life-changing worship, and life-enriching fellowship. I dream that we live that out. That in big ways and small ways, that is who we are. Because I think that as we do that, we are the light that God has called us to be. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we have no light except that which you give us. We cannot be the light unless you shine through us. And Father, it is purely and simply through your power that we can stand in this community and be a light. That we can be a light to others, that we can be a light in ways that points people to you. Lord, May we stand. May we allow you to use us to make a difference. Father, give us the ability to move beyond obedience. We don't want to shortcut that, but we want to move beyond obedience, and we want to move to the dreams. Thank you, Father, that you cause us to dream. And we pray this in your name. Amen.